1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee. And what I see, that will I tell thee. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee ward very good. For he did put his life in his hand, and slew the Philistine. And the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it, and did rejoice. Wherefore wilt thou sin against innocent blood, to slay David without a cause? And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan. And Saul sware, As the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all those things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence, as in times past. And there was war again. And David went out and fought with the Philistines, and slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul, and he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin, but he slipped out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin to the wall. And David fled and escaped that night. Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, If thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. And Michal took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster and covered it with a cloth. And when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, He is sick. And Saul sent the messengers again to see David, saying, Bring him up to me in the bed, that I may slay him. And when the messengers were come in, behold, there was an image in the bed with a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster. And Saul said unto Michal, Why hast thou deceived me so, and sent away mine enemy, that he is escaped? And Michal answered Saul, He said unto me, Let me go, why should I kill thee? So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel to Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt at Naoth. And it was told Saul, saying, Behold, David is at Naoth in Ramah. And Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. And when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. And Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also. Then went he also to Ramah, and came to a great well that is in Sekhu. And he asked and said, Where are Samuel and David? And one said, Behold, they be at Naoth in Ramah. And he went thither to Naoth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Naoth in Ramah. And he stripped off his clothes also and prophesied before Samuel in like manner and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Wherefore, they say, is Saul also among the prophets. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, well, we have a we have an interesting chapter. There are things that we can look at that are more interesting than others, but there are some things that are great for our instruction that I want to make sure that we mention. The first thing is, notice Jonathan's defense of David. Jonathan's defense of David. It is always appropriate to rise in the defense of one who has been improperly maligned. It is always appropriate. Notice David's his lack of defense against, you know, for himself. David does not rise in his own defense, but Jonathan rises in his defense. Now, if we're doing our job, if we're doing our duty, that means we're not rising in our own defense. However, let's not leave someone who's not rising in his own defense twisting in the wind, right? Let's rise up for him in his defense. Just because someone doesn't rise up in their own defense doesn't mean that we shouldn't rise for them, in other words. So Jonathan rises up to defend his friend and brother, David. David does not rise in his own defense. And notice that Saul is entreated of Jonathan, his son, and has a favorable face toward David. In fact, notice this sinister and false oath that Saul enters into here. Did you see that? Yeah. Notice verse 6, "And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul sware, as the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain." Well, I don't know, 10 verses later, Saul's got his javelin in his hand again. Just 10 verses later. What do we see in Saul then? We see double-mindedness. Double-mindedness, fickleness. We see yes and no. We see making an oath and refusing in a lawful oath to stick to it. The Lord takes oath-breaking very seriously. We don't enter into oaths lightly, and we don't extricate ourselves out of them lightly either. Now, we have seen times in Scripture, and I would recommend the larger catechism on this under the third commandment. Very, very instructive. We have seen particular times in Scripture when men have taken rash oaths, and they kept those oaths. We have seen other times when they've taken unlawful oaths and kept those oaths. Remember that when you take an oath to do something that is unlawful, it is unlawful to keep that oath. So you must be careful what you swear to do. And if you swear, Proverbs tell us that it is the good man who swears to his own hurt and changes not. When do people want to get out of oaths? When they want to. When they think it'll do them some... When they think they'll be missing out on something if they keep that oath. And yet what we're told in that passage is that when we make an oath and we keep it, even though it's to our own hurt, that's the quality of righteousness. That's the quality of a righteous and good man. Oaths are very important in Scripture. They are always taken before God, who will always be there to, number one, strengthen and support us to the keeping of that oath, and number two, call us to account when we do not. So Saul makes an oath that he will save David's life. And just a few short passages later, a few short verses later, here he is breaking that oath, himself seeking to kill David. This is a wicked man. This is a wicked man. People, now listen, when you make an oath, and you know that oath is righteous, it's a right oath, it's not enjoining any sin upon you, the only thing it's doing is, well, I just don't want to do that anymore, and you extricate yourself from that oath, that's wickedness. That's what it is. It's wickedness. Careful. All right, so Saul's goodwill toward David does not last. Evil men cannot maintain good works. And I was interested to remember Michal and her interaction with Saul on this point. She's the one who encourages David to leave. She says, you know, if you stay tonight, in the morning you'll be dead. So she lets him down with a basket. I would imagine they had pulleys in those days. And so she lets him down, or maybe she just had it wrapped around a post. You know, she was able to feed it out gently. And so she lets him down by a basket because they're laying in wait for him. And she dresses up his bed with a false person there, with a goat's hair at the head of it. And so Saul sends messengers, bring him here, I'm going to kill him. And she says, well, he's sick. So he sends messengers a second time, bring the whole bed. I don't care, I'll kill him in the bed. Notice the wickedness of Saul, right? Okay, so then they rip back the covers, and lo and behold, it's an image. It's not David. So Saul says, why have you sided with my enemy? And her response to him, I thought was very interesting, and I want to think about that with you for a minute. She says, well, he said to me, let me go, why should I kill thee? And that wasn't what happened at all. Seemed to me that she was rather forward to help him get away. And yet in the presence of her father, what does she do? She lies. Why would she lie? Because Saul, as a superior, had put her under threat. She was afraid. She was afraid. She was afraid for her own life. She was afraid that Saul, in his rapacious attitude, if she told him that she had helped David escape, that she would be dead. So she lied and said David forced her to do what she had done. Now this is a good lesson for superiors. It's a very good lesson for those of us, those of you who are in authority. Don't create an atmosphere with those who are under you that would press them forward onto sinning. Now, I'm not saying that Michal has an excuse here. I'm saying that there's sin on both sides. Michal lied. She should not have lied. She should have told Saul the truth. However, Saul should not have created an atmosphere where she feared for her life and felt like she had to lie. Brothers and sisters, we need the truth. Jesus said, it's the truth that will set you free. Now, I know that's taken out of context in many places today, but there is one place here that we can learn from that statement. What Jesus means is that we ought not ever to fear the truth. The truth ought to be that which we pursue at all costs. We ought to pursue the truth doggedly. And many times we settle for less than the truth because we just don't want to hear it. Many times we don't want to speak the truth because we don't want to be convicted by it. Or, even worse, we're too lazy to talk it out. We don't want the instruction that comes from speaking the truth. We want to simply go on in our willfulness, so we don't want to tell the truth in this. We'll just go on and do what we want to do, and we'll tell people what they want to hear, so they'll let us go and do what we want to do. That's a tragedy. It's a tragedy here that Michal and Saul, when they were speaking to one another, could not get to the truth. This was a conversation based on lies. Michal's lie to Saul and Saul's rapacious rule. Now, we can't be one another's keepers in that. I can't make you tell the truth and you can't make me tell the truth. But we can, for our part, always provide an atmosphere where the truth can be told. That's what we need to do. No matter what the circumstance or how difficult it is, let us be people that are so committed to the truth that we're willing to do the hard work of sorting it out. Let's not let sloth, let's not let ill will, ill feelings, let's not let embarrassment, let's not let anything get in the way of the truth. Let's be people of the truth. We're called to be so. He who calls himself our Lord, and we call him our Lord as well, he said what? I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Well, there's much more that we could say about this passage. I just kind of drew something out there a little bit, but I think it's important. So let's stand and continue praising God then in the singing of psalms. Turn with me in your psalters, please, to Psalm 78, 56, page 168 in your psalter.